Welcome back. 3:49, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. And I'm joined now by Washington Times Senior Editorial Writer for Foreign Affairs, Jim Robbins. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Andy. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Hamas says, "I dare you," to Israel. Are you surprised by that?
Well, I don't know if I'm surprised. I think it's interesting. If they think Israel's bluffing about going after them, then maybe they're the ones who incurred surprise.
I mean, why would they say that?
I think it's just to show that kind of daring do. You know, like, we're not afraid of you. Come on and, you know, bring what you got. Of course, the guy who said that was hunkered down in Cairo. He's not actually in Gaza. So.
All right, but what does that say about the U.S. involvement in Israel right now? And, you know, I've noticed this emboldened attitude of all of these countries in, you know, and speaking out against Israel. Are we that weak that just our presence doesn't mean anything anymore? Just the fact that we say that we're standing behind you, it doesn't resonate with them?
Well, the Obama administration has chosen to play kind of a low-key, behind-the-scenes role in this. If you want to call it leading from behind, that's fine.
yeah.
I know they don't like to call it that, but everybody else does.
Right.
And that has certain negative consequences, and this is one of them. If the United States thinks that behind-the-scenes diplomacy is adequate, then fine. But what it means is that in public you get into problems. For example, when Turkey, one of our NATO allies, calls Israel a terrorist state, and the Obama administration says nothing, that sends a signal in the region that maybe the United States agrees with Turkey because they didn't object to it.
Yeah, and I watched that exchange. In fact, I just played the exchange between Matt Lee and Victoria Nuland at the State Department yesterday, and he just pressed her and pressed her on exactly what you just said. And then finally, at the end, you know, she finally admitted that, okay, all right, well, yeah, I guess we don't agree with him.
Yeah, that was brilliant. I was like, now that the election's over, maybe reporters will do their job.
Exactly. Oh, man. Hey, let me ask you something. Why doesn't Israel just unload on them once and for all? You know, is it just too big of a mission?
Well, I mean, Gaza's a small place, but you still have over a million people there. It's, in some respects, a built-up urban area. It would be a really tough fight to go in there and just kind of clean it out from all the terrorists. A lot of Israeli troops would die. You'd have a lot of civilians as casualties in a fight like that. I mean, urban fighting is really the hardest form of fighting. So it's not, I mean, Israel could do it, but it would take a long time and be really difficult. I'm hoping that if they do go in on the ground, they're going to figure out a way to run Hamas out of town. I mean, just overthrow their rule there. But just like completely cleaning it out of all the bad guys might be too tough to do.
Yeah. And Hamas is what, just firing wildly, blindly into Israel whenever they get the opportunity?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's not like they're actually, that they have precision-guided munitions or anything. They say that their rockets are hitting schools by mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But these schools are not near anything. It's not like they were aiming for the, you know, IDF compound next door. It's only Hamas that puts their stuff next to schools.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, no kidding. All right, but who's helping them? Who's helping the Palestinians, right? Or Hamas?
Well, the Iranians, chiefly. There was a really good quote from Michael Oren, who said that this is like the Cuban Missile Crisis was about Cuba. I mean, it's not about Cuba. This is not about Gaza. It is about Iran. Because they're the ones who are supplying Hamas with their weapons, particularly these longer-range rockets that can hit the suburbs of Tel Aviv or Jerusalem. And the Iranians are probably the ones who said to ramp it up. And Hamas has been sort of in their camp for some time now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I mean, you know, again, you can go to the source. Iran is going to be causing problems like this until they get their nuclear weapon. And this is, in a way, it's just kind of a distraction.
Yeah. Hillary just arrived in the region a short while ago. I guess this is a rescue effort on her behalf. What do you expect from her?
Oh, well, what has she done so far? I mean, I know that Hillary Clinton gets a lot of good press for all the great things that she's done, but I still wonder what they are. Where's the great list of achievements? You know, have agreements been signed? I mean, what exactly does she do other than show up and make a speech?
Well, she travels a lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's good. And it doesn't seem to result in anything, but I know she can show up and talk to some people, and then life goes on. But, again, they say it's all behind the scenes, it's all closed doors, and if things happen, they'll claim credit for it, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right, the President Southeast Asia Tour, does it mean anything, or is it just good PR?
You know, my take on this is that this was planned long in advance as a way to get out of town in case he lost the election, right?
Really?
And then since it had been planned, they just went ahead with it.
Okay. But
even though he won. I mean, because, I mean, you know, the small countries that we're visiting, and, you know, no disrespect to those countries, but they're not like the major countries on our list of important allies or states of concern.
Huh. All right, today we heard that the Office of the Director of National Intelligence is responsible for deleting references to al-Qaeda in the talking points of Susan Rice. No White House involvement now, and I'm wondering if you're buying that.
Oh, I love this one, Andy, because last week we heard the president, you know, in stern tones say, anyone who's going after Ambassador Rice should come after me. Mm-hmm. You know, if you got a criticism, come after me. And now, you know, well, actually, go after Clapper. You know, I mean, unnamed administration sources are leaking this, okay, so we know right away. They just toss them under the bus. But here's, okay, so that's one aspect of it, the whole we're going to pass the buck. The other aspect is this, that they're claiming that the reason they deleted references to terrorism was they weren't sure of the intelligence. But on Friday, former CIA director David Petraeus said the intelligence community knew right away that it was terrorism. And Democratic lawmakers said that it was excised because we didn't want to let al-Qaeda know we're on their trail. Like, you know, we're so bad, we know so much, like, we're coming for you, we didn't want to let them know. So either we knew too much or we didn't know anything.
All right, so did Clapper fall on the sword or was it shoved into him?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, what we have right now is the report was in CBS News based on, you know, an unnamed source. It's not like Mr. Clapper came out and said it. So we'll see if he comes out and confirms it. But again, we have two stories that are standing that cannot both be true. So one of them has to be wrong. So they'll have to deconflict that before they come out with a public statement.
Yeah. All kinds of cries of racism coming from the left now because 100 Republicans have signed a letter opposing Susan Rice's possible Secretary of State nomination. That coupled with the comments of John McCain and Lindsey Graham the other day has got the left all fired up. Was it a good idea to send the letter? Does it really mean anything? Do you think Obama reacts to it, or does he deliberately nominate her now?
Well, he will probably nominate her just to show that he can. Furthermore, he took that stand, you know, that you're going to have to come after me if you want to come after her. So he'll at least have to do something. But if it looks like her thing is getting into heavy, heavy waters, then he'll have to figure out a way gracefully to get her off the stage so that he is not embarrassed, because remember, it all comes down to him.
Yeah. All right. And finally today, I got about a minute left. Pat Leahy, Vermont senator, member of the Intelligence Committee, has altered a bill to allow 22 federal agencies access to email and other digital communications of individuals without a warrant. That's a pretty slippery slope to travel, isn't it?
Oh, that's good. Remember the shirtless FBI guy?
Yeah.
You know, this guy. Do you want that guy looking at your email? Because that's what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, the shirtless FBI guy is going to be looking at your email, your Twitter feed, and your Facebook. Okay. Great bill. I love that bill.
All right. Get out of here. We'll talk next week. Thanks, Jim. Jim Robbins with the Robbins Report. Jim's a Washington Times senior editorial writer for Foreign Affairs. 358 WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.